I want to welcome all of you all that are listening to the podcast and those that are here. We're continuing on in the book of John as fast as the Holy Ghost will let us go. And so we finished chapter 12, and now we're in chapter 13 of John, and we're getting to one of the most sacred parts of our Christianity, and a part of what we believe and trust and know for an assurity had to do with our salvation. And so we're not going to go too fast, but we're going to go fast enough. So chapter 13 of the book of John starts as thus. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, this first verse still confirms the word that I've been saying, and I'll continue till Jesus come. God had Jesus on display to show us who he was. We see who the Father is through Jesus. Jesus is the Father on display. He said, I came to show you who the Father is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know how the Father thinks, how does Jesus think? If you want to know how the Father acts, look at how Jesus acts. If you know what the Father wants from you, then Jesus relays that to us. It's kind of like his son is there to represent the Father. So that's what we have, and that's why we have to accept him, because we can't see the Father, but we can see the representation that he had, which is in the Son. So now here he says, Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now, as we went through the first chapter all the way up to this chapter, we see that in the book of John is evident and evidence of the divineness of Jesus. All right. And he showed his divineness through miracles. All right. He did quite a few healings, deliverance, and he agitated the religious leaders because they were expecting one way that God was going to show up, but Jesus showed them the true Father. Also, he showed them their hypocrisy in that they were looking at works instead of moving by faith. All right. So now all the other time that Jesus had confronted them and did things, he always escaped, right? Every time he would tell them who they were, and that they would tell them, hey, you know, we of this one, we of that, you know, we of this tribe, you know, we know God. He said, no, you can't know God because you're trying to kill me. Why are you not understanding what I'm telling you? Out of all, every time you do this on the Sabbath, he said, see, you're looking at the wrong thing. The Father heals all the time. The Father does everything. He's not bound by what you're trying to bind him by. But you should have the love of everybody. If there's somebody that's hurting, show love. It doesn't matter whether it's on the Sabbath or not. All right. But now we see that Jesus knew that his hour was come. Right. That he's getting to where he's going to fulfill his assignment. And we do know what his assignment was. Right. Okay, so now let's go to verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. All right, let's go to verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had what? Given some things into his hands. All things into his hands, and that he was come where? From God and was going back to God. All right. He came for an assignment to show us. He came to sacrifice and then he go back. All right. 4. He risen from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Now, in all fairness, I forgot to bring you all. I have a figurine that came from Jerusalem where the apostle was sitting there and Jesus was washing his feet. I should have brought it in, because I mean, I have that one and one of them bringing the grapes back in to show them that the promised land had was flowing, you know, with milk and honey. Those are the two things, but one of the foundation parts of who I am today, because I believe that there is a promised land, and I know that humility, what we're getting ready to talk about, is a part of all of our Christian faith. But let's get into that. So now he takes a towel, he girded himself. Verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What do you think? Absolutely. They had no idea why the master would wash their feet. But what they didn't know is what we understand to be humility. We are all here to serve others. All right? There's really no big I's and little U's. Just because I've been ordained to preach the gospel and to go into the highways and byways and compel people to come in, and he's anointed me to speak words of edification, exhortation, and comfort, does not mean that I'm over anybody else in the gospel. I just have a different assignment. And so the humility part is, whatever you all need, then it's part of my responsibility to help you all do it. It's not that I should have you to look up and build me up some kind of way, but for me to be able to help you all, because that's part of the assignment. So here he is washing his disciples' feet. And so this should have been an example for them to understand that it's not about me, it's about you. Now, Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the commandments. And he said, I'm going to take all 10 and bring them down to 2. Right? Love God with your whole soul, mind, and strength. And what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. All right? So how do you really love your neighbor as yourself? You have to have humility and compassion towards your neighbor. Right? And so is this not the ultimate humility right here? For him not to consider the fact that he was who he was, but to understand that you all and those that were with him were important too. Right? All right. Verse 6. Then come he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Good question. Good question. He said, you gonna wash my feet? Me? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. So powerful. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Because he loved them. And he said, I get it. If that's what it's going to take to be a part. Now, didn't we read earlier when he was... He said, y'all going to have to eat my body and drink my blood. They ran. A lot of people ran. He looked at the disciples. He said, y'all going? They said, we don't have nowhere else to go. We know you got the words of wisdom. Now, here he is again saying, hey, I may not understand all of it, but if it's down to whether you're going to wash my feet in order for me to be a part, I'm on that. Matter of fact, wash all of me, which is good. 10. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not saved to wash his feet, but is clean every whit or everywhere. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Prophecy, right? Confirming the fact that he was what? All knowing. Yeah. More evidence that he knew. All right. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? I want to back up a minute. Did y'all really take a look at what really transpired? I want y'all to look back on what I just read. There's some more significance beside the fact that he washed their feet.
The fact that he knew who was going to betray him.
Beside that.
The fact that they were all clean just because he washed their feet.
Beside that. It's a small key in here. When I tell you, you're going to holler. When he got ready to wash their feet, all he had on was what? What did he do when he started washing the feet? He took his towel off. Y'all think? Yes. Yes. Very transparent. Very transparent. When I looked at that, I was like, you know, when you in God and God in you, there's really nothing to hide. You can't have anything prideful or anything in you when you in God. He didn't care what anybody thought about him because what? He was in God and God was in him. There was nothing. You remember when the devil made all of those petitions to him, I can do this, I can do that. He was trying to find a spot that he could get a hold to him. But he was transparent. There was nothing for him to grab on. He had nothing, no lust for this, no lust for that. He had nothing that the enemy could grab a hold to inside of him. And so when we're transparent, not that I'm saying you just got to get naked, but if there's nothing inside of you that the enemy can get, then that's when you are humble. It doesn't matter whether your hair is done or not. It doesn't matter whether you got this particular outfit on or that particular outfit on. When you working for God, is God working for you, then you're not concerned with worldly and earthly things like physical matters or image or anything like that. Because when we belong to God, we are as pure as we can be. When we become born again, God takes us back to where we were in the beginning without sin. You know what it says? He takes all of our sin, right? Throws it into the sea of forgiveness, and then what? We start out again as what? Babes in Christ, right? I just want us I want you to see the progressiveness of where Jesus is showing us that we have to and need to be and work on trying to be transparent. All right. Not to look at ourselves as I got faults, I got flaws, I can't do this and I can't do that because the enemy uses those things because he's what? The accuser of the brethren. So when you get ready to do things for God, the first thing you do if you want to get humble is to realize that you already got these things. But God works past all of that and takes us to that level where we can be used of him. We're transparent in him. We lose ourselves, and then he works what? Through us. Right? So we lay aside these things that cover us up because he stands it in us, and so there is no weakness. Then it said when we are weak, that's when he's what? Right? Even when we don't know what to pray for, what does he say? The Holy Spirit will come. and teach you and show you. Just let him work through you.
But, you know, all the movies we see, when he took his outer garment off, he always had an undergarment. So that just shows us right there that they left out, you know, a lot just for movies.
Well, they have to. But here again, movies really have not the spiritual impact. They're just showing us topical. We who dig deeper can see. Those that have the spiritual eyes can understand. And this part about being humble means that you don't look at yourself, you look at what God wants you to do.
Right.
That's humbling.
Right.
Humbling ourselves means that he's going to work through us and it's not really us. You know, we have to get out of the way. And everybody wants some credit. I don't know anybody that don't want none. People talking about, if they don't have to thank me. Yeah, just keep on doing stuff and nobody thanks you and see how you act about it after a while.
That's good to explain it, because I always thought you had something on your mind.
Yeah.
I always
thought. And that goes back to the garden, because Adam and Eve had nothing.
Yeah, they had nothing.
See?
I mean, wow.
And guess what? They didn't need anything. That's what I'm glad you said that, because that's what I wanted. Right, but that's what I wanted you all to see in being the transparent. When we are under God's covering, what is there to hide anyway? It's God that you're seeing. Right? If Adam and Eve didn't need any covering because they were under the covering of God. They didn't have any clothes on because they didn't need nothing on. There was nothing ugly, bad. There was nothing that could hurt them because they were under God's protection. They didn't get bit by mosquitoes. It wasn't too cold. It wasn't too hot. Right? They wasn't nothing going to bite them. Wasn't nothing going to eat them. They had, not only did they have protection, they had the connection to him for knowledge and wisdom as well. But they also had what? A choice to choose. Right? Other than that, God had everything. He said, I want you to take dominion. I want you to go around. And I laugh at this all the time, and we never think about that. He said you could swim, jump, run, do all the stuff you do around the kingdom. Just don't go down there and mess with that tree. Take dominion, be in charge, organize, set things up, do all this stuff. But don't go down there and do that, because when you do that, you're going to get disconnected from me and lose your power. Right? And what did the enemy do? Deceived them. They lost the power, and here we are still struggling today, trying to get back plugged in so we can get our what? Protection back, so that we can get our connection, our communing with him back, so that we can take dominion and do what we were designed to do from the foundations of the world. All right. Now, he said, know ye what I have done to you. 13. You call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so what? I am. It's another one of those I am. You Bible students, you should know the I ams. You should know them. It's a few of them in there, right? And every one of them is a validation that he is the Father on display, right? For so I am what? Lord and master. 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, what should happen? You should wash one another's feet.
And you know, he went to the Lord's feet, because you don't want to deal with people's feet.
Oh my God, I knew somebody was going to come up with it. Now think about this. They only had sandals, y'all. And everybody didn't have sandals. Everybody didn't have sandals. It was tough and rough back then.
It was tough. When you went to somebody's house and they didn't wash their feet, that was an insult. That really was saying, you're not good. Because that was a part of their culture. Not only in the Jewish culture, but the Middle East.
Right. And think about this now. You done stepped around in all that dust and dirt all day, man. You come in somebody's house.
Yeah.
You need to have your feet done. Not like we got to go get our feet done today. Now, I'm just playing.
When Jesus went to visit,
I forgot
whose house he went to visit, and he said, "You didn't even wash my feet." And when the woman was washing his feet,
right?
And so forth. And he told, I can't remember whose house it was. He said, "You all didn't even wash your feet."
Right.
You know, which is now he invited me to come and eat with you. You know who I am.
Right.
You know it's the custom to wash feet, and he didn't even wash my feet. And then you want to raise Cain over this woman who is washing my feet.
And drying it with her hair.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Come on with it.
Talking about the movies. Ben had the Bible on. You know, John Huston directed that. You know, he was Noah. But when it got to the part near the end, then Abraham takes his son Isaac up to sacrifice him.
Okay.
I wanted to look what kind of sandals that they have on. He was taking him up to be sacrificed. And I noticed, I said, now, how did they have him on some nice leather looking, just looking at the son and Abraham.
Right.
I know Abraham was rich and then.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was quite, you know, it looked too nice of sandals even.
Well, you're a little picky. I'm just saying, we.
But you gotta know, they don't really. They
don't
even
do the details.
Right.
And their mindset, you know.
I'm just saying, I thought John Huston did a good job. Right. Yeah. But the sandals look like they were new.
They look nicer than
anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I just really wanted to see.
Yeah.
But I've been watching Feed the Lot since James Robinson is trying to get these sandals for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they show all the sword on the children's feet and everything. Mm-hmm. I really kind of care a little bit more to what kind of footwear the movies, our Christian movies, had on. And so I was just kind of, I hadn't really ever paid attention to that, you know, to that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I want y'all to comment some more on this. On this, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Well, yeah.
Whereas he doesn't really expect you to get down there and wash Sandra's feet right now, but if Sandra has a need, come to help her in some way or support her. Not be selfish.
Right.
And just pray for her and say, "Go be blessed, my sister."
Right. Well, that would be more of a demonstration, just like the demonstration was if you had to get low to do that and always think that wherever a person is, you need to see where they are and then try to assist them wherever they are. You know? 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Which is what? Which is to be humble. Which is to be transparent, which is to be concerned about others as you are about yourself.
But can I interject here? I think the enemy has done a job with diverting the church from that, because if Sandra has a need, do they let us know as a body so that we can see how we can help, or do they keep it private?
Who?
The leaders.
Okay.
You know, or just use this as an example. We used to get an email saying this one has sickness, or is sick.
Uh-huh.
And then they would put the person's phone number or address so we could call or send a card.
All right.
We can't do that anymore.
All right.
We have to call the office. The office has to call the person, give permission to release the information.
Right.
And by the time we find out about it, you know, it's kind of late.
It is, and I was going to get to that. Let me share this with you.
But that's what I'm saying. Who put, you know, this law in place?
Well, there are federal laws called HIPAA, which is Personal Information and Privacy Act, which is that because people have privacy rights, that they just can't give out people's numbers. Now let me just move it over to the left a little bit. Some people don't want 99 people calling them if they got an illness. I'm gonna move it over to the right. Some people don't want nobody over to their house because for whatever reason. I'm just saying, you know. So let me move it from the left to the right. If you are in tune to God and your prayer life is where it should be, you can be praying for somebody, even if you pray in the spirit for them. You may not know about it. And then while you in your prayer closet praying to God, God can bring that person up to you. And then you can pray for that person specifically, or he can lead you to call that person or try to get in touch with them. And trust me, if that ever happens and you call them, they'll say, thank God you called. I'm so glad to hear from you. And you will have the right word at the right time for that particular person. Now, as we've been going through this study, I've not ever held back to say that all of this is to get us prepared for exactly what I'm talking about. If you got your prayer life together, if the Spirit of God is moving in your life in any way, you are going to be praying for somebody either that you know or that you don't know. It doesn't matter, but we are called to pray, right? And then even when it says, I don't know what I should be praying for, but the Spirit of God will help me in my infirmity. The infirmity there is that you don't know it all, but the fact that the Holy Spirit does, that's why he what? Leads us and guides us into all truth. So again, I admonish all of you all that are listening to this and you all that are here, your prayer life is key to being effective in the kingdom of God. If we don't now pray fervently, especially early in the morning, then we'll not have the directive that we need that God can use us. And the more humble we are about it, and to understand that it's not our will, but his will be done, the more he will give unto us. We talked about to whom much is given, much is required. The given part is measured by our obedience and willingness to be used, right? So the more you submit to God means, Lord, I'm more able and ready for you to use me. And you think that if you don't say that God won't. But we have to be prepared that when we do that, he is. He is. And we have to be ready for that. All right. So in this study here, I want us to see and understand that there's a lot of key ingredients here. So I just don't want you to look at it as just one dimensional. But is this word not written for our admonition? Right? If we're disciples, then we should. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to all disciples. He's talking to the disciples that don't even know they're disciples yet. Those that are yet to be called out of darkness into his marvelous light, who will read this and say, man, so I'm supposed to wash people's feet? And then he said, no, not specifically, but you need to understand that there's an area in everybody's life that need to be what? Prayed about, prayed for, prayed over, right? It doesn't just always be what you see. It's about what the Spirit of God will reveal to you to pray about. All right? He said, you ought to wash one another's feet. 16, for I have given you an example that you should do what? As I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not what? Greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Well, was that not a faithful saying? They said, how are you going to be equal with God? He said, because I was with him from the beginning. Did he not say that? He even said, even before Abraham was, I was. Ooh, they got mad then. They talking about, how you going to be before Abraham? How you going to be before all these folks? He said, because I was with the Father from the beginning. Right? So, if you know these things, happy are ye if you would. I'm always happy when I help somebody. I even enjoy, and I don't know about y'all, I'm always uplifted after a good prayer time. He wake me up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Of course, I'm retired, so none of that bother me now. But, you know, when I get up early in the morning and I get through praying and singing and all of that, man, I am ready. And I, you know, about 6 o'clock, man, I say I be wanting to call folks. I know folks sleep. You know, I have all this stuff, boy. I mean, you know, I done got charged up, fired up, boy. I'm like, I can't call and wake these folks up. But 9 o'clock, I'm on it. You know, I have to, you know, measure it out. But I'm empowered to do so. So I want to encourage you. When the Lord wake you up at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, don't run to the refrigerator. Don't get that cup of coffee. Get on your knees, get your Bible out, and let God have an experience with you. And you have one with him, and get ready. Everybody say ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. I love this part. You all that are listening to this podcast and you all that are here are not here by accident. God wants you to be what? One, obedient. Two, transparent. And three, humble. So this is what I want us to get out of this Bible study, right? One, to be obedient. He said, do it because you've seen me do it, right?
Right.
Two, how did he do it? He did it. He was transparent. He got low and did it, right? Right?
Yeah.
So we got it. Happy. 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 Do y'all get that? He's saying, you can be happy if you do those things that you see me do. I'm going to be funny right now. Y'all don't mind me being funny right now, right? Do you know the difference between joy and happiness? What is it?
Joy is on the inside and it's more of the eternal nature. Happy is temporary.
Okay.
It shows a lot on the outside, but you sometimes joy is something that you, it may not always show on your face like happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm using this definition for the first time, but different episodes and things can make us happy.
Ah.
But. Joy comes from a different source.
Okay. Anybody else? Difference between joy and happiness? Rightly so, she said, joy is internal, but happiness is external. So there are things that we can do on the outside that can make us happy. Right? The world is not going to make you happy. But what is this saying? If you do the things that God tell you to do, and you do them with the right motive, you will be happy afterwards. I want some happiness in this life. Sure, I got the joy of the Lord, and that's my strength. But I want to be happy as well. Right? I want to be happy. How many of y'all have never seen me not happy? And people say that all the time. They say, man, every time I see you, man, you just, it's just, you know. But it's because I'm always trying to do something. Always. I love that. That's part of that framework, that the way that I've been built. And so I just try to be contagious. Because as I'm doing those things like this that he told me to do, if I'm happy, somebody said, what is that you got? I said, boy, I'm just having an experience with God. Because people said, why are you downtown talking to folk? Why are you on the bus? You just all of a sudden giving all this out and all that. I said, because that's what I've been told to do. and when I'm humble and not care about whether you're going to like what I say or not and go on and do it, I'm happy afterwards. And I love it. I love it. I want him to find me working when he come. I better stop because I feel the preach coming on. All right.
So can you be happy and not have joy?
No. I don't think so. Now, you can be in the world. Let me tell you. I give you an example of this. All right. All right. If you bought a lottery ticket today, all right, you're not happy when you buy the lottery ticket. I'm just using this for an example. You're not happy when you buy the lottery ticket. You got an expectation that out of all of these long shots, there is for you to win this thing. That it might happen for you. That ain't joy. Ain't no joy in that. You just got an expectation that this thing might hit. But I guarantee you, when you hit it, are you going to have more happiness than joy? I'm just being realistic. If you got this winning lottery ticket and you jumping up and down and broke out in your happy dance, is that joy coming out of your heart, or is that happiness because now all of a sudden all your bills can be paid and you're going to be doing all this? That ain't got nothing to do with joy. That got something to do with happiness because. And it ain't because that you've been saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost and power, and I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. Ain't got nothing to do with it. I got this lottery ticket and I get my bills paid, new car, you know, all of them things. And people say, oh, if I hit the lottery, I'm going to tithe. Really? If you have not already been tithing, you mean you're going to take 10% of all of them millions? You're going to be like, man, if I give 10% of all these millions, I'm only going to have $900,000 left. Y'all looking at me. Y'all got this expression on your face, too. But yes, if you have the joy of the Lord in you, it doesn't matter about anything external. Because if you have the joy of the Lord in you, whether it's raining, whether it's not raining, whether things going good, whether you get a flat tire or whatever it is, if you got the joy of the Lord and that tire get flat, you be like, all right, Lord, let's go on out here and get this thing done. It's like, oh, man, I got a flat tire. I'm going to be late. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, you know, now I got to get out here and change. But see, if you got the joy of the Lord in there, boy, you got your song. You know, everything's going. So you just get on out there. Next thing you know, somebody stop, help you with the tie. You still say, you know what? I was just thanking God for all the good things. And then here you roll up. Bingo. Good question, though. Good question, though.
One more thing about joy. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh.
Happiness is not one of the fruit of the Spirit. So we kind of get that from them.
Because when you're in the right place under the right circumstances, the fruit of the Spirit should be coming off that tree, right? Right? That should be one of the signs that you got something going, right? That the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. Hey, I knew y'all was going to come up with it. All right? Happy. If we don't get nothing out of this, we can be happy if we be humble, transparent, and what? Obedient. Man, I might preach that. Thank y'all. I appreciate that. Y'all brought a message out of here. Happy. All right. Verse 18. I speak not of you what? I speak not of you all. I know whom I have what? Chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. This is prophecy. All right. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that what? I am he. Again, how many times have we read in John that he said, I'm doing these miracles and things so that you believe, right? He's saying, I'm doing these things to validate the fact that the Father sent me. And what does he say? He said, and when it come to pass, you're going to believe it. Because he's always been telling them, my time is not here. My time has not come. He's been leading up to the fact that there will be an ultimate sacrifice made. Out of all of the gospels, you'll read them. He said, I'm doing this now, but there's going to come a time when it's going to be done, right? 20. I'm past my time. Y'all didn't say anything. Y'all just let me go ahead. I always enjoy myself. Y'all wasn't watching the clock. It's just flashing on my little thing here. That's all. Let me see how many verses we got. Ooh, we got a whole lot. I don't think I can finish it. It's too much. It's too much meat in there. It's too much. Y'all wouldn't want me to try to run through right quick and get there, cause, woo, there's a lot. But I do want to leave y'all with this one. I do want to leave you with this one. In 18, it says, "I speak not of you all, but I know whom I have what? Chosen. You all have been chosen. You're a chosen people. A royal priesthood. A holy generation. Right? Has he not set you apart? I'm talking to you all who are listening under this podcast, because my group here not shouting me down right on this one, but they know they chosen. They know they're a royal priesthood. They just looking ahead for the descriptions for next week.
You got to give us that whole verse now. Don't just give us part of it.
Why?
Because if you say 18, give us all the 18.
No, you just need that he know whom he have chosen part.
Come on, give us the last part.
But it's what? But that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now, see, if when you get into that, that's gonna move into this. He said, "The Father has given me you." See, now we back. We still in John, but he said, "The Father has given me, and nobody can take out of my hand what the Father has given me." See, I didn't want you to go for me to get to that part, because not only have you been chosen and set apart, you've been put into his hands, and you can't be snatched out. It doesn't matter what you go through. It don't matter how much you have to endure. You still gonna be his. Because what? "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be with you even until the what? End of this age." See, if I get into that, I kind of wanted to hold it on the chosen part, because we good? Because when you get into 20, it's on. Father, I just thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and what a joy it is to know that there's three good things that we can do: be obedient, transparent, and what? And humble. And then when we do these things, we can be happy because we do these things. Father, we just thank you that you always give us one more nugget, one more piece of gold that goes into our bag to take us so that we can buy, so that we can have in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that this word will not be plucked out by the enemy, but it's going to fall on good ground and bring forth much fruit. But when the word of God goes forth, it'll not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper into us. For we are that good ground. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're going to encamp your angels round about us to take us to our next destination. And me on the plane heading out. And I just thank you and give you alone all the praise, honor, glory, adoration, and thanksgiving for this. In Jesus' name that I pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.